Do you believe in ghosts?
Good morning, evening, or afternoon, wherever you are, whenever you are. This is Tyler with Ghost Stories, the podcast. I hope you've all been keeping well and had a very nice week, although it's been less than a week since we put something out because I was a bit delayed last time. And I've got a real special treat for you today because it's the second week in a row my wife's reading a story. It's going to hit a point where it's going to just transition to her podcast, I guess, because it seems people really enjoy hearing her read them. She always gets great feedback, but that's fine. I'm going to read one next week, I think. Most likely, anyways. And today we do have such a great story. The quality of stories coming through are just absolutely fantastic. And it's from a regular of the podcast. But we'll get to that in a second after a few bits of housekeeping. Now, like I mentioned, stories coming in, the quality of them is fantastic. And we are built on our listener stories. So if you're new to the podcast, what we do here is we take stories sent in. They could be based in fact or pure works of fiction. I pull them together and encourage you all to vote for what you think. And you keep the stories coming, you know. In the early days, I used to have to fill the gaps, write a few stories myself, but now the only stories I put of my own are the ones I really want to share with you all. I've not had to kind of force anything or come up with anything because we're just inundated, and I love reading them, even the stories that don't quite make the cut, and just to talk to you all and have the conversations about the creative things you do. It's amazing. But don't stop there. We've had things out of the story sent in. For example, Bill the shoutouts for you. He sent some poetry into us, which we are going to get to. I'm trying to figure out ways we can use them on the podcast. If you have anything like music, for example, that you would like to see included in one of the episodes, I can't guarantee we'll use it, but send it in. I love hearing from you all, and this is very much a passion project for me, but also something that's very much for you all, and you can all be as involved in as you want to be. So if you want to send something in, though, I guess the important thing is, how do you do that? You can go to Facebook by searching Ghost Stories the Podcast and message us there, or you can go to ghost-stories.co.uk, our completely outdated, underused website, but we do have a contact form which I do monitor, and it emails me directly. Likewise, you can always get in touch with us by becoming a Patreon subscriber, which takes us to our next point. You're supporting us amazingly by tuning in, but if you want to go that extra mile and help us with our production costs, you can become a supporter on Patreon. And I broke it down, so there's two tiers. You can only subscribe at two tiers. It doesn't take a lot, so it's either $1 a month or $5 a month. What does that mean? Well, at $1 a month, you're averaging about 25 cents an episode. At $1, $1.25 an episode, which is just crazy value, isn't it? I think the only place you could get value for entertainment like that is on Patreon with this type of content. So if you want to help with those production costs, like I say, we appreciate you being here anyways, but you can, you know, get content a bit early. We've got some exclusive series coming, which I'm working on, and a few other perks, so feel free to jump over there. Before we crack on with this week's episode, I do have a Patreon shout out as well. Izzy, our latest ghost tier subscriber, thank you so much for your support. You can't imagine how much it touches me every time one of you subscribe and help support the podcast in that way by handing over your hard-earned cash to us, to help keep us running. So thank you so much, Izzy, for supporting us. Now let's move on to the most important bit, and that's this week's episode. Now this one's been sent in by Katie. And Katie, she's actually sent in a couple more before. So after you listen to this, if you've not heard her previous stories, I recommend checking them out. So it was in the last season. So episode 1, Don't Go in the Closet, and episode 8, Don't Swim in the Lake. It's a theme there, which I didn't expect. This one's, I should have made it a don't go type themed episode. But that's not the title. The title is The Neighborhood Asylum. I don't want to give much more away than that because it's a longer story and just one that I absolutely love. So Katie, thank you so much for sending it in. I'm sure you'll have more stories for us. Your ones always knock it out of the park when you send them over. So everyone, sit back and enjoy The Neighborhood Asylum.
Thank you.
I live in a neighborhood on the outskirts of Chicago that is very heavy with folklore and legend. One of the many historical places in my neighborhood that is a place of nightmares for many is a state-run psychiatric hospital that has been in existence since 1854. When it first opened, it was a poor farm and eventually an insane asylum, as well as a tuberculosis sanitarium and orphanage. Now, on the grounds was a county cemetery, which was strictly used for paupers' graves, as well as burial of unclaimed deceased residents of the state hospital mentioned above. The graves were mostly unmarked, and apparently the individuals responsible for maintaining the grave sites did not keep records of where the burials took place. It turns out they used numerous different areas of the property to bury bodies. However, no records were maintained of where the burials were located on the grounds. As our city expanded, and eventually the large poor farm, state hospital and orphanage became what it is now, a small behavioural health hospital, the property, which was once on a parcel of land about 2 square miles, now only required a very small piece of land for its small building. Most of the land is still owned by the state, but they have sold off small sections for a school, a condominium complex and a small nature preserve adjacent to the still standing hospital building. The hospital is a two-story building, somewhat sprawling, and is surrounded by tall barbed wire prison fencing. It looks rather ominous and menacing, surrounded by a grass field. So about 30 years ago, construction started on a condominium building on land once owned by the hospital. Sadly, human remains were found when they broke ground, and it was learned that this parcel of land was once the old county cemetery. Strangely, they only found a limited number of remains and could not find the thousands of graves that should have been nearby on this property. It seemed there were no records or maps of where the bodies were laid to rest, and they might be anywhere on this 2 square mile piece of land. They've uncovered about 5,000 graves, but as many as 30,000 graves are somewhere lost on this property. Some are known to lie under an area that was paved and turned into a road back in the 1950s, and now the state hires archaeologists before digging and performing any repairs on this road. It should also be mentioned that as the hospital expanded over the years, they were rumoured to dig and build anywhere on the property with no regard to the human remains that were buried there. A local pastor petitioned the state to give dignity to the 5,000 graves that were unearthed, and a memorial park was eventually placed on the grounds of the condominium building. It's a small and peaceful space with a memorial to the thousands of souls interred in the lost old county cemetery. There are 5 memorial plaques posted for the orphans, the insane, the poor, the unknown victims of the Chicago fire, and those residents of the tuberculosis sanitarium who were buried and forgotten in the county cemetery. Near the entrance of the hospital is a sign that for access to the nature preserve, you must enter through the hospital parking lot. This is the only mention anywhere in the community of a nature preserve, so the day I spotted the sign, I was intrigued. Now, this whole gigantic piece of land is about a block from my home. I've been so fascinated with this area and the history all of my life, and I was anxious to go exploring. Though I should mention that strolling on a remote nature path on the grounds of a high-security psychiatric hospital on land known for tens of thousands of desecrated and forgotten graves does really sound like maybe an activity best left for another day. Well, one summer evening, my daughter and I headed out for a stroll. We picked up some coffee and we walked into the parking lot of the hospital. About 10 paces in, a security officer pulled up to us in his car and asked us what we were doing. I explained we wanted to go and explore the nature path, and he respectfully said, "Ma'am, there is nothing to explore here." I asked him about the conservation area and the sign posted out in the street for the nature preserve. He told us there was no walking trail and nothing to see. He said, "It's best if you don't go wandering out through that way. You can go and walk around if you like, if you stay near the hospital building, but ain't nothing for you to see over there." Well, this felt like a solid warning. My daughter and I left and went home to do some reading. So I read that the neighbourhood school just had a group out the week before, performing a clean-up on the nature trail. And there was information on the various types of birds that now call the area home. so now I knew I wanted to check it out. No one that I knew from my neighbourhood had any idea that they'd opened this space up, and it seemed no one but myself had any interest in exploring it. So again, we headed out one weekday evening, and this time we were not met by security on the entrance. We found the nature preserve, and it was quite peaceful. Not a soul around except for ourselves. I now understood why we were warned to stay away. We were isolated, and that security guard knew he couldn't keep an eye on us while we were out on this trail so far from his post. Our visit was creepy to say the least, and at one point it seemed the wind carried whispering voices that, try as we might, we couldn't understand. We heard footsteps on the trail behind us and quickened our pace. As the sun was setting, it was starting to feel really unsettling. Again, a thousand whispers carried on a cool breeze, and the hairs on my neck stood up as I felt a deep regret for entering this place, where I was already warned that I didn't belong. The sound of footsteps from the unseen spaces, a falling branch, and more whispers, and a stone striking a nearby tree. Did someone just throw a rock at me? I can see no one around. This is not a huge trail, it's not a thick forest. It's mostly a meadow with a few trees along the trail. It was clear we needed to find our way out of this place, but didn't want to turn back on the trail for fear of who might be following us. We continued walking, and the whispers that called grew louder and louder. Yet they must have been the breeze blowing through the tall meadow grass. An icy breeze gently caressed my face as my daughter asked me if I felt the cold as well. The whispers were so loud now, and it seemed the sound was overwhelming and quite disorientating at the same time. I have no words to describe the combination of quiet and sound that seemed to be attacking our senses. And in the swirling vibrato of rustling voices, suddenly they all fell into sync, and a loud chorus of whispers echoed, "Come join us, come to us here." My daughter and I seemed to realise at the same time what we were hearing, and we continued on the trail loop which eventually led back to the hospital parking area. We were quickly walking out to the street, and then we were met by the same security guard from the week before. "Ladies, did you enjoy your stroll?" he asked in an all too serious tone. I told him that we did in fact find the trail, and it seemed we were being followed as we had footsteps following us, chasing us it seemed. He looked at the ground for a moment, collecting his thoughts, and back to us, as he said, "Best to hope he doesn't continue following you. It was an awful soul who stalks and chases out on this path. I don't know how much you believe, but I know enough to stay away, and so should you." Well, it's been a year since that evening stroll. As I tried to fall asleep in my bed, I hear footsteps as they pace the hall outside my door. I feel the cold caress as I try to fall asleep, and I see the shadows from the corner of my eye. Most of all, I hear the sage advice I wish I had taken from the concerned guard, as he advised me that there was nothing to see. How I wish I had taken his advice.
What a fantastic story, and Katie, thank you so much for sending that in. Although when I saw the email pop up, I expected no less, because your two previous episodes were absolutely fantastic as well. And of course, thank you to Lucy for reading it out. Like I say, every time she does a story, she loves hearing from you all and how much you've enjoyed her reading them. If you do have a story that you want her to read, make sure to call out in the email and I'll be sure to ask her. But now we're going to hand it over to you, dear listeners. You know what you need to do. Jump over to our Facebook page or go to Patreon. You will need an account to log in, but you don't have to subscribe, and you could vote for if you think The Neighborhood Asylum was based in fact or a pure work of fiction. I know the answer, Katie's told me, but I'm not going to share it with you here because I don't want to sway your opinions or give anything away. I'm sure it'll be revealed eventually though. And that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you do want to make my day, week, month, year, make sure to click that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review. And most of all, take care of yourselves, be nice, and don't stop asking, do you believe in ghosts?